We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. Who doesn't want their child to be happy, especially when your child is spending a big part, a third of every day in a classroom, in school, doing all those things, interacting with other students and with their teachers? You want your child to be happy at school. But with that said, is that the goal of education? Is that a good measure of the success of your child's education? Whether or not they're happy, whether or not they're well adjusted, whether or not they're being properly socialized for life as a citizen in the United States. Those are not bad goals, but is that and should that be the goal of educating your children? Welcome back for part three of a multi-part series here on Issues Etc. of Progressive versus Classical Lutheran Education. Today we're going to talk about socialization or formation. Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest, assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book, Lutheran Education, From Wittenberg to the Future. He'll be speaking at an open house this Sunday, January the 28th, at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. His presentation's titled, Forward to the Past, How a Classical Education Truly Prepares a Child for the Future. Dr. Korchak, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here again today.
Is it necessary for my child to be happy in school?
Well, that does sound like a loaded question, doesn't it? Because what parent would want to say, I want my child to be miserable in school? I don't think any of us would ever want that. But the issue comes up when the happiness of a child becomes the most important or maybe even the exclusive goal of education, when all I'm concerned about is my child happy? Because there's a lot more that education, especially Christian education, should be concerned about.
So this dovetails with the notion that the classroom is a place primarily for socialization. What does that usually mean?
Well, I think over the years, talking with parents, perhaps one of the reasons why they are reluctant to send their child to a Christian school or a Lutheran school is that they want their child to fit into the world. And often they'll say, well, I want them to be in the real world, as though a Lutheran school wasn't the real world. Or I want them to learn to deal with all the problems. I don't want them to be sheltered. I want them to be in the world and encountering these things. But that's a dangerous approach to take, because it's really an invitation to have a child become comfortable with sin and wickedness. And often I like to gently confront people and say, well, show me where in the Bible it says that I should willingly let my child be exposed to wickedness. Where in the Bible does it say that I should expose my child to ideas and doctrines that are contrary to God's word? And that's a very difficult question to answer, because Scripture enjoins us to do the very opposite, to keep them safe from such attacks.
That sounds like a path that needs to be carefully negotiated and navigated, because we don't want to isolate them from the world and its influences entirely. They have to be in it. But we don't want to socialize them, as you say, according to the world's standards.
Right. I don't want my child to think that the ways of this world is a normal thing. Just think of some of the whole gender identity issues that children face today. Do I really want them to be in an environment where they're told that, for example, transgenderism is a normal and healthy lifestyle? Even if it's not put forward in that way, it's not going to be put forward that this lifestyle is contrary to God's word. Over time, we've become accustomed to putting up with the notion that God should have no say in public life. And in a public school, which is a child manifestation of public life, that has never been more true than it is today.
So give us kind of a concrete example of how in the classroom it can be communicated to the children that the ways of this world are and should be alien to them, and yet still be a place where the children could be properly socialized with the Word of God.
And I think alien is a really good word to use. We really should look at the world as though it's this alien thing that, while we have to make our living in the world, we're certainly not a part of it. And that message starts early on. When we're teaching children that there is a different way of thinking, not just a different set of information to be learned, but it's a different way of thinking about the world. It's a different way of thinking about what is true and what is not. It's a different way of thinking about what truth is. And I think that's where progressive education causes the most problem for a Christian parent, because progressive education highlights the constructivist nature of truth. That is, we create truth inside of ourselves. We determine what truth is going to be, apart from any external thing, apart from God's word, apart from the authorities that God has placed in my life. Well, part of education is teaching children not to think in those terms.
This isn't only a countercultural, as you say. This is contrary to the direction that a lot of, not only education in general, of course, kind of public education, but even parochial education has taken, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think over the years, we've tend to approach education and think, well, there are methods, and then there's content. And as Christian education, we just have to worry about the content. We have to worry that the doctrine is right, and that we're teaching the right information. But the methods are there to advance a way of thinking as well. And so many of the prominent educators write in such a way that they outwardly say that they're training children so as they grow up to reject the faith, that they grow up to reject the church and reject authority. And so it should be little surprise then when we look across America, we see a whole generation of people now who do what? They reject all authority. There's only one authority, and it's themselves, who have grown up to reject the church, to reject an external revelation of truth in Scripture. And instead, they just look to themselves. And so now everyone has become their own authority on everything.
You say instead of socialization, in the task of educating our children, we need to think in terms of formation. What's the difference?
In socialization, we talk about having children blend in with the people around them. Now, in one sense, yeah, we want children very well socialized. We want them socialized in the church. But instead of using the term socialization, maybe formation is a better term to use. And the Christian term for formation is catechesis. As parents, we want to ask ourselves the question, not will my child fit in, but what sort of person do I want my child to become? And that's when the question of Christian formation really comes into focus. How is my child going to be catechized? How are they going to be formed into the ways of the church and the ways of Christ?
We're talking with Dr. Thomas Korchak, part three of our series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education today, socialization or formation. He's assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, and he's author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. When we come back, how important is the confession and the character of the teacher? Stay tuned.
Afloat upon the waves. this book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Pastor Will Wheaton, talking about his new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
What do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits.
Learn more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2018? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Grace Place Lutheran Retreats. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about progressive versus classical Lutheran education, a series we're doing with Dr. Thomas Korchok. He will be speaking at an open house at noon this Sunday, January the 28th, at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. His presentation is titled Forward to the Past, How a Classical Education Truly Prepares a Child for the Future. You can learn more about this open house at school.stpaulhamel.org. Or call 618-633-2202. That's 618-633-2202. Dr. Korchok, you wanted to talk, in addition to kind of the formation versus socialization, about the confession and the character of the teacher as well.
Oh, absolutely. The teacher, after the parent, is the chief former of my child. They're the ones who probably have the most influence over how my child is going to grow. So the first question I want to know is not how much does my teacher know or have they mastered the right methods. Good teachers have always been good teachers, and they've always been able to figure out some excellent ways of teaching. I want to know what sort of character my teacher is, what sort of a confession they have. What are their belief systems, and how are those belief systems then going to be projected onto my child? In the public sphere, that's not even a question to be raised. A teacher's life is a private matter. But even if they don't talk about it openly, it's going to come into the classroom. So if I firmly and adamantly believe that two people of the same sex should be allowed to be married, well, I may not say that in the classroom, but I'm also not going to say that two people of the same sex should be married.
Okay. This sounds like it comes often in a very subtle form.
Oh, absolutely. So it's not just what is being said, but also what isn't being said. It's not just how it's being taught, but how it's not being taught. So much progressive education tends to downplay the importance of content. It's not that there is no content, by no means, but content is diminished. Content is downplayed. Well, in with that is the understanding that there is an author of content, so to speak. There is an author of truth. And so if I believe that God is the author of all truth, then truth and content is going to be accentuated, not diminished. If I believe that we create our own truth or that we're the author of truth, then content is going to be diminished because I'm not going to want to force my version of truth or my understanding of the world on somebody else.
This isn't just truth as it's being modeled. This is what you described there is the children are being taught how truth ought to be regarded as something that could be relative to each person and how it's to be handled, that it can't really even be communicated from one person to another without impinging on someone else's truth.
Absolutely. And I think what America is facing and the whole West is facing is a crisis of how we know. Academic term for that is epistemology. How do we know anything? Is it because it has been revealed to us and given to us by God? Or is it because it's something we've discovered within ourselves? As a Christian, that's a dangerous thought, because Luther would talk about how we're curved in on ourselves. We're always looking to ourselves, and when we look to ourselves, we're always going to go astray, and we're always going to be led into sinful areas. We have to look outside of ourselves and have an external guide for what's right, wrong, good, true, noble, praiseworthy, all those qualities that Paul talks about.
So this goes far deeper than any kind of explicit values that are either taught or failing to be taught, far beyond the do's and the don'ts.
That's true. And now I'd like to say that we have some wonderful Christian teachers working in Christian schools, wonderful Lutheran teachers working in Lutheran schools, and they care deeply for their children. And they really do want to see that they be brought up in the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. But if my methods are working against what I'm saying in the classroom, then that turns out to be counterproductive. And my methods work against what I'm actually saying. We really want methods that line up with the message at the same time.
That means stepping back, looking at the entire enterprise, not just the individual classroom or subject, but the entire enterprise of educating children. And here is where I think you're kind of gently nudging us into the direction of a classical form of education, where the method does coincide with the truths that we want to communicate and the view of truth that we want to communicate to our children when we educate them.
Absolutely. And I have to credit Pastor Joel Brondes for this one, but he is fond of saying that the goal of education is that we look to train a child to look to God in faith and our neighbor in love. And that captures the goal is first we want to train them so that they look to God for all goodness, forgiveness, life, and salvation, and that they are well equipped to serve their neighbor in their vocation in love. And that is really what a classical form of education aims towards. How will we build children to look to God in faith? Well, it starts by teaching them to respect the Word of God as the revealed truth of God to which we must bend ourselves, to which we must submit ourselves. That is the discipline of being a student. It's submitting yourselves to the authority which has been placed over you. And then serving our neighbor in love, it's taking what God has given me in this world and using it to the very best of my abilities for the good of my neighbor. It's not just about whether I can get a job or getting back to where we started at, whether I can be happy. It's about what is going to be the very best for my neighbor.
So how is it that the classical model creates that school environment that will, not only in terms of its method, but in terms of its content, gently mold the lives of these children so that they are, we form them into what God's word would have them be, aliens in this world, those who trust in God through Jesus Christ and sacrificially love and serve their neighbor, whoever that may be?
A classical model of education lends itself to the formation of a Christian. First of all, because of what I just said, that is submitting to authority, the authority that exists outside of myself. It submits to truth as that which exists outside of myself. So when you walk into a classical classroom, it's noticeably different. First of all, you'll find that the children aren't distracted by all sorts of different activities going on. There aren't multiple stations which draw their attention away. And part of that is because the goal isn't what we're talking about, to make children happy. The goal is to train them to be able to sit and listen and discuss and think about the great ideas of life, the greatest of which, obviously, is Christ Jesus and His Word. When you walk into a classical classroom, you'll find discipline. Not harsh discipline. In fact, I've never seen harsh discipline in a classical classroom. The discipline that's always offered is usually very quiet and very carefully applied and received in the spirit in which it is given. I've never seen a classroom where the children appear out of control. In fact, every classical classroom I've seen, the children have a great deal of self-discipline. They've learned that just because they've been modeled it by the teacher and because of the way they've been taught. Part of it, I think, is there's a natural response. They've been given material that's of timeless value, things that they will use for the rest of their life. And I think in some way most recognize that, hey, here's something worth learning.
Dr. Thomas Korchak is assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. He'll be speaking at an open house at noon on Sunday, January the 28th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hemel, Illinois. His presentation is titled Forward to the Past, How a Classical Education Truly Prepares a Child for the Future. Dr. Korchak, thank you very much.
Well, it's good to join you again. Look forward to next time.
You can purchase Dr. Korchak's book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future, by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., it is being reported that Cecile Richards plans to step down from leadership in Planned Parenthood. We'll see what her legacy is with Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. That'll kick off Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.